In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The heavens declare the glory of God. After all, he is their creator, so not one shines apart from his hand. They testify to him. So man is without excuse, for everyone has seen those heavenly stars. No man should ever doubt that God exists, for he has put himself in those stars. But this star is different, a unique and a special star with an appointed purpose, to announce the birth of a new king. Many probably saw that star, for the scriptures do not say that the star appeared to the wise men, but rather that the wise men saw the star. Others probably saw that star as well, but the Magi knew something of the scriptures and the promised king. They did not know all the details, but what they did know was that the dignity of this king far exceeded the dignity of any other earthly king. They are not obsessed with the star, but they are obsessed with to whom the star pointed. How could they not worship him when the very stars in the sky pay homage to him? It urged them to Christ, but it did not tell them where he was to be born. Initially, the star did not lead them. It probably just appeared in one night sky. And during their months-long journey to Jerusalem, they probably did not see it. The heavens declared the glory of God. But the heavens did not declare where that glory was to be found. The word alone revealed God's location. Man looks for God in positions of power, thus the Magi went to Jerusalem. But the word of God reveals God's glory in the humble flesh of a child. So as they went on their way to Bethlehem, the star appeared to them yet again. We don't know how many days or months went by without them seeing it, but we do know that when they saw it, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. How repetitive that phrase is. Words cannot describe how happy they were. And this time, the star is moving. It's a visual sign, an image of what the Word of God does. This time, the star is leading them away from Jerusalem, away from Herod, away from the scribes and the teachers of the law, away from the temple, and to the flesh of a holy child sitting with his mother. No ordinary star can appear and then disappear, lead and stop over the place where the child was. And when they saw the child with his mother, they fell down and worshipped him and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So the star did two things. It announced the birth of the king. And then after hearing the word, it led them to that king. It led them to the flesh of their God, to humility and yet to power, to weakness and yet to glory, to a sacrificial king and to an eternal king. Is that not what the Holy Spirit does? Does not the Holy Spirit reveal to us who the Creator of heaven and earth is? And does not the Holy Spirit then lead us by his word to where that Creator is now present? And just as the Magi rejoiced with exceedingly great joy when they saw it, so does not the Holy Spirit create joy in our hearts in the salvation that Christ has won? So the star is an image of the Holy Spirit who enkindles in us the fire of faith and joy as he leads us to the Savior. So the Magi have nothing more spectacular than what you have. They believed the word and they followed because the Spirit created faith in their hearts. They could have been like the many others who saw the star in the sky and just assumed it was some special, unique, natural phenomenon or gave it some other supernatural meaning. They could have been like Herod or Jerusalem, knowing the word of God, knowing the location of the king's birth, knowing that king is the promised Christ, having all the details, and yet refusing to believe, refusing to go. But the Spirit gave these Magi faith to believe and then to worship. We could have been like others as well, like Herod or like Jerusalem. How many have the scriptures but do not believe? How many know the details of where Christ is present and yet still do not come? By God's grace, you are not among them. The heavens declare the glory of God, but those heavens do not declare where that glory is found. Only the scriptures reveal where God's glory is now found. So you search those scriptures diligently, not to learn facts and information to pass a Bible trivia test or a catechism quiz, but you search the scriptures diligently for Christ, your Lord and your King, and where he is now present for you. What if the Magi, when they saw the star in the east, what if they had stayed home, praised and worshiped God in their hearts, and perhaps offered him a prayer? That is not faith. The Spirit urged them to go to where God was present for them. And the Spirit still urges you to go to where the flesh of God is present. So you go to where he is present in this Holy Supper. If the Magi were seeking an earthly king, they would have been perplexed and wondered why they wasted so much money and time on such a long journey. But if they were seeking a heavenly king, they would have been delighted when they found him, though there was nothing kingly to be seen in him. If they had sought an earthly king, they would have abandoned their home country and would have physically stayed with the King of the Jews. But the scriptures tell us that they adored him, presented him with their gifts, and then journeyed back to their own homeland, confident that he was king and lord of all things, and still remained with them. If you are seeking an earthly king, a king who can fix your life and make this year better than last, if you are seeking a king who can end wars, stop diseases, and make you feel joyful and happy all the time, then you too will be perplexed and wonder why you have come to this altar yet again. But if you seek a heavenly king, you will be delighted that he is present for you in this supper yet again, even though your eyes see nothing kingly here. But the word of the Spirit has revealed to you, has opened your eyes and moved your feet, and you have come. And you too fall down before your incarnate God. And like those Magi, you also offer him your gifts. You offer him your praise, your prayers, your money, and your whole self, as you dedicate your whole life to his glory. Yes, you give him gifts, but they do not compare to the gifts that he gives to you here. Forgiveness, life, and salvation are yours. The riches of an eternal kingdom are gently placed on your tongue, freedom from the devil, deliverance from suffering, victory over death. The Spirit has opened your eyes to see what so many others have failed to see, and has led you to the flesh of this holy child, your Lord and God and Savior. Perhaps you too rejoiced like those wise men with exceedingly great joy that today your God was coming to you. Thank God for that. Those feelings of joy, peace, and serenity and gladness are little signs of the Holy Spirit and faith that dwell in your heart. They are not sinful, even as the Magi's feelings were not wrong. We do not trust in them, but we are glad when we have a little taste of that heavenly joy. But even if you feel no joy, even if you are not excited to make the trek out this night, even if your feelings do not match your faith, you still have come. Faith has won out. Faith instructs the feelings what to feel. For your incarnate God is here. The heavens declare his glory. They testify to what he has done in creating this world for mankind. But they do not reveal where he is present. The word of the Holy Spirit reveals to you where this King is now present. And so you also come and kneel down before the Creator of the stars to receive his body into yours. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.